Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
For this baby growing in them, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would put faith inside them, Lord Jesus, for what you have in store for this child. I pray that you would give them dreams and visions, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would be speaking in, Lord Jesus, prophetically, Lord. I pray that they would just be thinking, this is what this child is going to be like. And we have to give it this name because of that. And I just feel actually the power of the Lion of Judah over that child. The power of the Lion of Judah over that child. God has been speaking to me recently about the Lion of Judah and his power. And I just speak that over your family and over this child. The power of the Lion of Judah. Come, Holy Spirit. And I pray now, Lord, as we unpack this scripture, Lord Jesus, as we come to James, as we come to your word, I pray your spirit rest upon it. Lord God, speak to us powerfully, Lord. We rely on you to unpack your word. We rely on your Holy Spirit. We rely on you speaking to us, King Jesus. And we just say, we love you, Jesus. And we want to know you more. We want to be more filled with your spirit. We want to see your power break in more, Lord Jesus. We want to see your kingdom break out more, Lord Jesus. We want to see you come, Lord Jesus. So I pray as we unpack this now, Lord Jesus, that your presence would come. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's a privilege to be here for Liz and Glenn's news, but it's also a privilege to get to preach on James 5. I think James 5 is one of those chapters in Scripture where you're just like, wow, this is an amazing bit of Scripture. I don't know about you, but I've kind of avoided James before this series because I've always seen it as kind of like a book of works, a book of to-do lists, a kind of like and I don't really get on with that. I've come through grace, through the system of Jesus saving me completely, fully, utterly, despite all my sin. So then when I come to James and it's like, oh, do your work, do this, do that, do this. And the gospel isn't as preeminent, isn't as clear, isn't as there in James. But when I started studying it and I saw James 1:18, and James 1:18 says that, well, James 1:17, and I think we started with this, Clive, I think, started off your series in this, but God is absolutely unchanging. There is no shifting shadow in him. There is no change. His light is pure. Everything is pure and glorious about him. There's nothing that changes about him. He is magnificent. He is creator. He is maker. He is savior. He is Lord. He is the one that created all things. He spoke and nothing became everything. Just think about that. He spoke and the sun came to being. Do you know, he spoke and this world just came like that in a moment. We can just get caught up in the fact that he is unchanging. But then he's done this magnificent thing in James 1:18, where it says that actually he brought us forth, which is what the ESV says. But if you read it in the NLT, it makes it clear what it means is he's given us new birth. So he's born us. He's born us and given us new birth. Like it says in John 3, he has given us new birth. You are born again as a new creation and the gospel has come. And so to really, really understand and know what James is teaching, you have to go from James 1:18 to begin with, because he has put his spirit upon you. He has made you his disciple. He has made you his by new birth. And so this book is aimed at people who have new birth. So actually, you're already saved. You're already in that position of grace. And then we know that there's this really controversial bit in James 2 where it talks about us being not saved just by faith, but by works as well. But actually, that if you unpack what that means, what it means is that actually you have a changed nature. You have an absolute changed nature. You are a new creation. You are born again. The language of being born again is actually really helpful because it says that I was dead. Now I am born as a child, as a baby, and I grow up into a disciple of Jesus. So that language of being born again is actually incredibly helpful in James, because then it helps you to understand the rest of James. You've got a foundation of grace, a foundation of being saved, and then your life will change and your life will be transformed. You will not be perfect to begin with, because when you're born, you're a baby. I don't know if you've had a baby, Liz and Glenn. When you have a baby, you'll know it's not perfect. I can tell you my one-year-old is not perfect. But it will grow and it will develop and it will change and it will transform. And that's what it's like being a Christian. And that's what James is saying here, actually. As a Christian, you need to think about these things and change and be transformed by the power of God at work in you because you are born again. Because you are born again. But then you get on to James 5, and James 5 is the kind of landing point of James. And I think what James is thinking here is actually, I've told you all the things that you need to do now and how you need to live in community. Now you need to remember. Remember that I am the Almighty God. And I, the Almighty God, have come to live inside of you. And if I, the Almighty God, have come to live inside of you, if I have made you my son or daughter, if you are in right relationship and friendship, if I'm your father and you are my son or daughter, then you have all of heaven's disposal in your hands. Then you have the authority of the kingdom of God in your hands. And that's what James wants to leave you with. He wants to leave you knowing in a great expectation that God is going to use you and empower you to bring his kingdom in. And that's where we come with James 5, the landing of, and that's kind of the teaching here. And if anything I want you to leave with today is that you are powerful because you have been saved. You are chosen by God and you are powerful. You can transform the world around you because the living God is inside of you. The powerful, mighty creator God, the one that spoke nothing into everything, is inside of you, is your father, loves to give good gifts, loves to bless you. That's a long introduction, but you know, if you don't listen anymore, that's fine. You've got what I'm going to say. Let's read James 5. And I've chosen the ESV, and there is a reason for that. I normally read NLT because it's more poetic, but the ESV translates it in a better way. Not just this passage, but all passages. So the prayer of faith, James 5, 13 to 20. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings him back a sinner from his wandering ways will save his soul from death and will cover over a multitude of sins. Now, if you're reading with me, I hope you notice that actually in every single verse there, it says pray. It says pray or praise. It says connect with God. You see, you have to understand that your prayers are powerful. Your prayers are effective. Your prayers can break and change every situation. Do you know that? Do you know that you can pray and things can change? I find this passage slightly overwhelming. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Have you read through the story of Elijah? Okay, 1 Kings 17. This is the first verse that it says about Elijah. First verse, no introduction, no nothing. Elijah, 1 Kings 17. Now, Elijah, the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, Ahab's the king, okay? The king ruling over all things. He's a bad king, evil king. He's doing a lot of bad, taking people of God away from God. As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word. That's the first thing Elijah is saying. That's the first thing you hear from Elijah. There's going to be no rain on the earth. There's going to be no dew on the earth. This man's a powerhouse. this man's like, you're talking about heaven closing its for 3 years, 3.5 years, it says. And you're saying that to the king. You're saying that to the king. You're wishing destruction upon the king. Elijah was a man like, had a nature just like mine. You know, just further on in 1 Kings 17, you know, read through Elijah's story, but one of the next things, he raises a widow's son from death to life. He prays over her, prays over this son three times, lays his face down, and he says, come back to life. Life comes back into that dead body. And then later on it says that he prayed and the rain started to fall again, like it says in James. And there's a few more stories, amazing, incredible stories. But he's got a nature just like yours. Sometimes we compare ourselves with Jesus, and while that is good, there's something in me, I don't know about you, there's something in me that says, yeah, but he's fully God and fully man. Yeah, it's not that great comparing. And while it says that he will put his whole spirit upon you and you can do greater works than he has done, that is what the gospel says. But there's still kind of this thing in me which says, but he's fully God. This is saying Elijah has a nature just like yours, a nature just like mine. And he prayed and incredible things happened. He moved nature, the laws of nature, the laws of physics, he moved them by his prayers. You can do that with your prayers. Do you understand that? The prayers of a righteous person are powerful when they're working. They're powerful. Your prayers are powerful. I'm so glad to hear that you had a fantastic prayer meeting yesterday. I came in just before, during the prayer here, before the service, and it's powerful. You guys are expectant. Adam praying for revival. I love it. Come on, let's see revival come. Let's see revival come. Your prayers are powerful. Now, you might discount yourself in some ways because, oh, am I righteous? And if you're going by James, maybe you're not righteous. Maybe your tongue is loose. Maybe, you know, you struggle with that. But if you fully understand the righteousness of God and some of the songs that Lloyds was singing earlier is a full understanding of the gospel, if you cannot say that you are righteous, then you are not even a Christian yet. The righteousness of God is a gift. Right standing in God's presence is an absolute gift. It says, if you want to meditate on some scripture, Romans 3-5, you know, the righteousness of God, you are not right in front of God. No one is right by their own actions. Then you come through this journey of coming to know Jesus, and it says, you are fully right in front of God because of the work of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection. You are righteous. You are the righteousness of Christ because God is inside of you and has saved you. You might discount yourself because actually James says that elders should go and pray for the sick. Oh, that gets you off the hook, doesn't it? I've been thinking, why does it talk about elders? And I think the only reason it talks about elders, when you reflect on what an elder is called to do, there's no moment in the qualifications for an elder in Timothy, Titus that say that you have to be a healer. So you don't have to be a healer. But what they say is you have to be hungry for the Spirit and the things of God. You have to be hungry for God to move through you. And you have to be an example to the congregation that actually God is going to move through you. Also, there's something about being a shepherd. So the shepherd of God's people. The shepherd is more likely to be the person who gets called into the place of ill people who are on their deathbed. But it doesn't discount you. It's an example to you. The elders of the church act as an example for you to hunger after God to see the bigger things of him come. And also it talks here about all of us. It talks about all of us coming together in a community and praying and seeing the things of God come. You cannot discount yourself. You are a righteous person and therefore you should expect the things of God to come through your prayer. Now, the reason that I chose to read from the ESV instead of the NLT is because I think they get the translation right. I know they do. Because they say the prayers of the elders save them. The word translated there from the Greek is sozo. Now, sozo doesn't just talk about spiritual salvation. The word sozo means that you are saved, meaning you are healed, you are restored, you are delivered, you are saved spiritually. So when it's telling you to pray, you're praying the sozo of God. Who knows that the wholeness of your body is together? Your mental, your physical, your emotional, your spiritual, it is all interlinked together. And as it interlinks together, God saves different parts of you. The salvation of God. We know that we are saved. I've just explained that. You are righteous. But the salvation of God, there's verses which say you are saved. You are being saved, as in you're currently, God is working. He has begun a good work in you and he will see it through to completion. That's his salvation, his sozo continuing to work in you. And then you will be saved in the future. When Jesus returns, there will be a salvation when you, if you know Jesus, will be taken to be with him forever. So the salvation, the sozo, it's important that we understand when we're praying for people, the salvation to come is his physical healing, is emotional healing. And we should expect spiritual salvation as well. All of the above, the holistic view. But you can't take it out of context and say then, therefore, it's probably not talking about physical healing. Because later when it talks about us praying for each other, it talks about, it's a different word translated, iame, I can't pronounce that one, but it talks about physical healing. Nowhere else in the New Testament is that word used for anything other than physical healing. So it's important that you know that we can see physical healing today. We can see emotional healing. We can see spiritual healing. We can see mental health healed today by our prayers. It's a wholeness, a wholeness. Something that I just wanted to pick up, because in verse, I'm a bit lost, just give me one second. In verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. There's a few things in that. You have to be living in a community of Christians. You have to be. There's no question about that. James didn't understand a Christian not living in community. He didn't get that. If you're not living in community, what elders do you call to come and pray for you when you're sick? If you're not living in community, who are you going deep with and saying, this is me really, this is where I'm at? You see, this says, and it's a connection of that word sozo again, because it's the whole self. It connects physical ill health with your confessing of sin. There's a connection between sin and your spiritual ill health and your physical ill health. Now, let me just, I don't want everyone to think if you're sick, it's definitely your sin that's holding you there. John 9, verse 3 says, when Jesus is asked who sinned so that this man would be born blind, he said, it's neither his sin nor his parents' sin that made him blind. It's for the glory of God to be made known. So it's not that every ill health is because of your sin. But some is. Some of you will be physically sick because you're choosing to live in darkness, because you're choosing to live in sin, because you're choosing to live in that place, you're choosing to remain in that place. You're making a choice to remain in that place of sin. And that will bring physical, it'll bring emotional, it'll bring mental ill health to you. Come on, let's drag it into the light. Let's drag it into the light. And how do you drag darkness into the light? You confess it to a brother or sister. You get in community. You do life honestly and openly together. I love, me and Clive and Duncan were having a chat on Friday morning after we prayed together. And we were just honest and open. You know, this is what we're struggling with at this moment. This is where I'm tempted at this moment. This is where I could fall at this moment. This is where I could go wrong in this moment. In the gospel, Jesus tells us to keep a short account of our sins. It doesn't tell you to build up this big thing and then when it's almost about to crash, when you're about to burn, then quickly tell someone. A, it gets harder when you're down that end. And B, it gets... It gets harder, sorry, for those not in the room. It's so good to be in a room with other people. Come on. It gets harder to confess your sin when you're far down that road. But it also, let me just encourage you, live in community, live in deep-rooted, true community. Don't allow yourself to just be trapped in all the trimmings of sin, the temptations. If you know you're sinning, confess it to a brother. And you never know, you might see the power of God break in almighty, powerful ways. I just want to end. As I said, I think when I prayed over Liz and Glenn, I've been thinking about the Lion of Judah recently. And this morning when I was meditating on the image of the Lion of Judah, the face of the lion turned into a dog. And I just had this thought, am I or are you transforming God into a puppy? Are you making him powerless? Are you saying that he couldn't possibly change this situation? Are you changing him to be something that's a friend, you know, a companion, but you're in charge of, that you're powerful over? Are you changing him? And in this season, it's easy to do that because we're out on our own quite a lot of the time and we're out on a limb. God is not a puppy. God is not like a weak dog. He is the Lion of Judah. When you come into his presence, there should be a mesmerization of how amazing and incredible he is, how powerful and almighty he is. There should be moments where you're fearful, not because you think he's going to judge you, but just because of his majesty. You look at his arms and you see the power. You look at his face and you see the majesty. You just, I don't know, when you think of lions, you just think power and glory. And sometimes 1 Peter 5, it talks about the devil acting like a lion. It doesn't say that he is a lion. It says that he's imitating a lion to scare you. Whereas in Revelation 5, it says, Jesus is the Lion of Judah. The devil's always been a deceiver. The devil's always been a liar. The devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus is the Lion of Judah, who is powerful and majestic, who is Lord of all creation, who is healer, restorer, saviour, rescuer, who is grace, who is good, who is loving, who is kind. He is the one that can transform all things. He can give you full life, eternal life and life now. I want to pray for you now. I talked about my son earlier. Yesterday he was walking around, just learned to walk. He's 1 year old. And he was carrying this broom around with him. And he couldn't get through doors because his broom was holding him back. And he didn't want to put it down because he was holding on to it so tight, and it was his broom. And it just made me think, what are we holding on to which is stopping us accessing the things of God? What are you holding on to which is stopping you go through that door that God has opened for you? I just want to pray now. I just had a real sense that the weight of God's glory was going to come. I had a sense that the weight of God's glory was going to come and encounter us. Lord, let your glory come. Let your glory come, Lord Jesus. Jesus, give us a fresh revelation of who you are. Give us a fresh revelation that you are almighty and all-powerful and reigning over all things, Lord God. Help us to see you, the Lion of Judah. Revelation 5 says, weep no more, for the Lion of Judah is here. Weep no more. Weep no more, for the Lion of Judah is in your place. The Lion of Judah lives in you. The Lion of Judah come. The Lion of Judah come. The Lion of Judah come. Whew. And Jesus, we just want to say we break off everything that's holding us back. Lord God, we let go of it now and we snap it off in the name of Jesus. We snap it off now in the name of Jesus. Anything that's holding us back, we snap it off. Disappointment, be gone in the name of Jesus. Depression, be gone in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Lack of expectation, break it off now in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. You are the Lion of Judah. Roar over us afresh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we say yes to you. Oh God, whatever you're speaking in now, Lord. And I think God is going to be speaking. I remember when I first became a Christian, I went into marriage prep. And I went in, it was at my parents' church where I grew up, where I came to faith. And I remember going into the office and the vicar was there and he said to me, I remember sitting in this room and praying for your salvation when you were far away with your dad sitting there. And the weight of that prayer just hit me in that moment. I am the fruit of someone's prayer. You are the fruit of someone's prayer.
God.
And now I think God is going to bring people to mind to you. For you to be able to say that they are the fruit of your prayers. When they come to salvation, when they come to hope, people who are far away, that is the fruit of your prayers. Lord Jesus, give us faith to see your salvation. Give us faith to see your healing. Give us faith to see your power come today, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.